I want to ask you a question, which I hope you will not only consider as we spend a few moments discussing it tonight, but also throughout your life and on every occasion that you can. I want you to consider the question, what is the church's greatest need? You may have heard people say that the church today needs more elders or evangelists. You'll find congregations around the world who are desperately crying for more local teachers, more dedicated parents, and more committed young people. But I believe that each of these problems are symptoms of an underlying issue. The church desperately needs people to fill all of these roles. That is true. Those are problems that we need to meet. But there is an urgent need in the church which must be filled before we will ever find the people to fill these roles. And this is a need foretold in the scriptures, one told to us by Jesus, which the church has faced and will face throughout the ages. The Lord said in Luke 10:2, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Now it is undeniable, again, that the church needs more elders, more deacons, more evangelists, teachers, and leaders. However, I don't believe we'll ever see this need fully met to the extent that we need until we begin to produce more dedicated members, more laborers, and more workers. Now, it's all well and good for us to identify this as a need of the church, but we would be remiss to simply call out for more workers and then go on our way without identifying some of the work that we need to be doing. Number one, the church needs more people working to save the lost. Surely most, if not all of us, remember and could quote the Great Commission given by the Lord in Matthew 28:18-20. He said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." The Great Commission was not only given to the apostles, to evangelists, to elders, to teachers, to the few. The commission to make disciples, baptize the lost, and teach others to observe the Lord's commands applies to all of us who have obeyed the gospel call and are living for the Lord. This commission echoes that great need that was on the Lord's mind in that previous verse, which we noticed in Luke 10:2. This is the great call given to all of us who follow the Lord and call him our master. Yet to be successful and ready for this work, there are other things we also need to be busy doing. Number two, the church needs more people working toward maturity. The Apostle Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, "Be diligent, present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." You know, the Apostle Peter wrote something somewhat similar, a more detailed and similar admonition in his second epistle. In chapter 1, beginning at verse 5, he said, "But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge; to knowledge, self-control; and to self-control, perseverance; to perseverance, godliness; to godliness, brotherly kindness; and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." We need people who recognize that growth is a primary goal of the Christian life. God expects us to grow in our knowledge and ability, not just to stay where we were when we converted. To become more like Christ with every passing day is one of our duties. And Peter's passage is worth many other hours of careful study as he outlines somewhat of a stepping stone process of growth, which in simple terms express marks of maturity that a growing Christian will begin to show in their conduct, in their life, and in their work. Number three, the church needs more people working together. We understand the need of those other offices to be filled, of elders and deacons, of teachers, of evangelists, but can the few really change the church and heal her in places where she's dying? Can one or two people turn the church around and keep her doors open? Many of the things that we must be doing are not easily accomplished alone. We need one another for support and encouragement, for enablement. But sadly, the church in today's era faces a steep challenge that, honestly, it seems we have failed to conquer by and large, one that was somewhat foreign to the church of the first century. The church in the Bible carried out her works in a time where travel was far more limited than in our time today, and people were far more deeply connected and dependent on their local communities. Everyone knew each other much more personally and deeply and needed each other for both spiritual and physical survival. But the church today suffers from problems of isolation, of independence, and a lack of deep personal familiarities and love in the local congregation. And so we have to find ways to overcome these issues, to be bound together as closely in fellowship, dependence, harmony, unity, and love, as was the first century church. The work of the church at large is greatly hindered so long as we ignore this problem and act as if it doesn't really exist. A failure to work together is a failure to obey the commands of God, and too long the work of the church in local congregations has rested upon the shoulders of the few, or in some extreme cases on the shoulders of one. Yet we grumble and complain that the gospel just does not work here in America, and we blame the few who are willing to go and work. And that's a shame on us. If we are not willing to participate in the work, to give our all and give our effort to what the Lord has us to do, then I submit we've lost the privilege to complain. We are a part of that problem, if not the very source. And how can we pray the same as what the Lord said in Luke 10 and 2, for more laborers to come out and work in that harvest, if we are not willing to take up our portion and take up our work? Too many people are content to sit idly by and wait for the Lord to come again. Last, the church needs more people working when and where they can, doing what they can. Paul says in Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 11, He himself, the Lord, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. What I'm telling you today is the same thing Paul wrote here. The body, the church, needs every single one of us for growth to occur. The church is a body, and each of us as members are a portion of that body. It is a system with each part performing a necessary function to keep it alive, and if you think that the local congregation which you attend is a dead or dying body and you can't figure out why, start looking at yourself, or start looking for members who aren't performing their functions, and you found a cancer of complacency that is draining the body's life away. The sad fact is true of many churches in the world that are dying and that have ceased to exist in years past, that people have just grown cold and idle. And the only solution for each one of us is to start doing whatever work we can do, to take up a role that exists for us, to see a need and do our best to fill it. We need more people with the attitude of the widow who could do no more than offer her two mites, but she realized the depths of doing what she could in Luke 21, verses 1 through 4. And so in conclusion, I agree with all of the needs that we hear desperately called for to be filled. The church does need more elders to lead and shepherd the local congregations, more deacons to help and serve, more evangelists, more teachers, more leaders, more men and women who are wise in the scriptures, ready to train their children, strengthen their families, more young people seeking to take up an active role in their congregation. But we will never find the quality of people from which to forge and shape these leaders in the church and with which to fill those offices until we have a strong foundation of workers who are busy about the Lord's business. The church needs more people with the attitude of Isaiah, as he said almost seemingly in answer to that prayer mentioned in Luke 10 and 2. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send and who will go for us? And then I said, Here am I, send me.